Chapter 2, The First Visit to the Wood. The three children had no chance to visit the Enchanted Wood until the next week, because all they could do was help their mother and father all they could. There was the garden to get tidy, curtains to sew for the house, and a great deal of cleaning to be done. Sometimes Joe was free and could have gone by himself. Sometimes the girls were sent out for a walk, but Joe was busy. None of them wanted to go without the others, so they had to wait. And then at last, their chance came. "You can take your tea out today," said Mother. "You've worked all hard, all of you, and you deserve a picnic. I'll cut you some sandwiches, and you can take a bottle of milk." "We'll go to the wood," whispered Bessie to the others, and with their excited faces and beating hearts, they helped their mother pack their tea in a big basket. They set off. There was a small gate at the back of their back garden that led into the overgrown lane running by the wood. They unlatched the gate and stood in the lane. They could see the trees in the wood and hear them talking with their strange talk. "Wisha, wisha, wisha." "I feel as if there are adventures about," said Joe. "Come on, over the ditch we go, and into the Enchanted Wood." One by one, the children jumped over the narrow ditch. They stood beneath the trees and peered about. Small freckles of sunshine lay here and there on the ground, but not very many, for the trees were so thick. It was dim and green there, and a small bird nearby sounded a queer little song over and over again. "It really is magic," said Fanny suddenly. "I can feel magic about somewhere, can't you, Bessie? Can't you, Joe?" "Yes," said the others, and their eyes shone with excitement. "Come on." Then down the little green path they went, as if they were meant for rabbits. It was so small and narrow. "Don't let's go too far," said Joe. "We'd better wait till we know the paths a bit better before we go deep in the wood. Let's look about for a good place to sit down and have our sandwiches." "I can see some wild strawberries," cried Bessie, and she knelt down. She pressed back some pretty leaves, showing the others deep red strawberries below. "Let's pick some and have them for tea, too," said Fanny. So they picked hard and soon had enough to make a fine meal. "Let's sit down under that old oak tree over there," said Joe. "It's all soft moss leaf. It will be like sitting down on a green velvet cushion." So they sat down and undid their sandwiches. Soon they were munching away happily, listening to the dark green leaves overhead saying, "Wish, wish, wish," all the time. And it was whilst they were in the middle of their tea that they saw a very peculiar thing. Fanny noticed it first. Not far off was a clear piece of soft grass. As Fanny looked, she noticed bumps appearing on it. She stared in surprise. The bumps grew. The earth rose up and broke at about six places. "Look," said Fanny in a low voice, pointing to the piece of grass. "What's happening over there?" All three watched in silence, and then they saw what it was. Six big toadstools were growing quickly up from the ground, pushing their way through, rising up steadily. "I've never seen that happen before," said Joe in astonishment. "Shh," said Bessie. "Don't make a noise. I can hear footsteps." The others listened. Sure enough, they heard the sound of pattering feet and little high voices. "Let's get quickly behind a bush," said Bessie, suddenly. "Whoever it is that is coming will be frightened if they see us. There is magic happening here, and we want to see it." They scrambled up and quickly crept quietly behind the thick bush, taking their basket with them. They had hid just in time, for even as Bessie settled down on part of the leaves and the beat to push through, there came a troop of small men with long beards almost reaching the ground. "Brownies," whispered Joe. The brownies went to the toadstools and sat down on them. They were holding a meeting. One of them held a bag with them, which he put down behind his toadstool. The children could not hear what was being said, but they heard the sound of chattering voices and caught one or two words. Suddenly, Joe nudged Bessie and Fanny. He had seen something else. The girls saw it, too. An ugly, gnome-like fellow was creeping up silently behind the meeting of the toadstools. None of the brownies had seen him or heard him. "He's after the bag," whispered Joe. And so he was. He reached out a long arm, and his bony fingers closed on the bag. He began to draw it away under a bush. Joe jumped up. He was not going to watch people being robbed without saying something. He shouted loudly, "Stop, thief! Hi! Look at the gnome behind you!" In a fright, the brownies all leapt up. The gnome jumped to his feet and sped off with the bag. The brownies stared after him in dismay, not one of them following him. The robber ran toward the children's bush. He didn't know they were there. As quick as lightning, Joe put out his foot and tripped the running gnome. Down he went, crash! The bag flew up from his hand, and Bessie picked it up and threw it by the astonished brownies, who were still standing by the toadstools. Joe tried to grab the gnome, but he was up and off like a bird. The children tore after him. In between the trees they went, dodging here and there, and at last they saw the gnome leap up to the low branches of the great tree and pull himself into the leaves. The children sank down at the bottom out of breath. "We have got him now," said Joe. "He can't get down without being caught." "Here are the brownies coming," said Bessie, wiping her hot forehead. The little bearded man ran up and bowed. "You are very good to us," said the biggest one. "Thank you for saving our bag. We have valuable papers in there." "We have got the gnome for you, too," said Joe, as he pointed up in the tree. "He went up there. If you surround the tree and wait, you will be able to catch him as he comes down." But the brownies would not come too near the tree. They looked half frightened of it. "He will not come down until he wants to," said the biggest brownie. "That is the oldest and most magic tree in the whole world. It is the faraway tree." "The faraway tree," said Bessie in wonder. "What a queer name. What do you call it that?" "It's a very strange tree," said another brownie. "It reaches the top reaches. How much we don't understand."